We are looking at procedures and functions. If you go into the VB.net, anything that was kind of in VB.net that was working fine, I can tend to copy and make it VB 2012 because it was working fine. So I've got a bunch of examples. If you go down here, the procedure and function examples. And those are a whole load of just very basic procedure and function examples. What I did when I was doing the website was the things over here under 2012, etc., tend to be things that go closely with what's in the book. And so when I came to doing these things, they tended to cover what was in the book. And a lot of the things that I had done in the past, I just left in the VB.net. So I would, basically I'm saying I would take a look at some of the things that, for example, if you go in, as I said, and download procedure and function examples, and I was feeling apparently very ambitious back then, so I took the code and put it in Word and HTML version so you can actually read the code without opening the program. I lost that level of ambition somewhere along the line. So, anyway. But if you open the procedure and functions, and I'm going to go in... And once you get to them, if you've downloaded them, I want to look at what's under VBNet CIS 156. Okay, so I'm in that download of the procedures and functions. There's a whole load of examples that you can look at, but the ones I want to look at are the two that are in VBNet CIS 156, because those are actually procedures. And the ones I want to look at are the by reference one and by value one. And we're going to start a raise if we get to it today. And I would definitely download all of the array examples from both places, from VBNet and the other one, because they're different examples. Thank you. Okay, now.
Which function did you want to open?
Under by reference one and by value one, only not functions. Go into the one that says VB. Oh, let me go look again. If you go into pick the one that says VBNet CIS 156. VBNet CIS 156. The ones here are functions. Those are procedures, and I'm going to go into the procedure. So it's those. And once you get into procedures, it's the one that says by reference one, and then the next one I'm going to open is the by value one. How we doing? Got it? I've actually got both of these open on the screen, and who knows whether it's going to work or not. But they're basically the same program. The difference is that one of them has by reference down here, and the other one has by value down there. Okay, so that's the difference between these. Other than that, these are the same program. Okay, so by reference, if I pick this one, well, let me just point out a few things. This is an older way of doing it, but you still see it a lot. Convert type text hours to an integer. So that's another way of converting things. Then I have below it the cint, which is the way we use more often. And then there's another convert to decimal. If I want to go into a decimal, I can actually say convert to decimal. Or I can use the CDC. So I basically just put a whole bunch of ways of doing it up there.
Okay. C double is integers and decimals, right?
Say that again?
C double. That's integers and
yes.
Decimals.
Yes. Yes. It, well, anything is integer. I mean, anything, it's not going to get rid of the decimals. It's converting to decimal. But an integer can be converted to decimal. It just has a 0.00 on it.
I always use C double.
Huh?
I always use C double.
And then that's flexible, and that's good. Because it can handle either decimal numbers or integer numbers. Okay, so what I've got here is a function, or actually two functions. The first function is simply putting up directions. Okay, so I said first go do directions, and I have nothing to pass, so I have just that open and close parenthesis. And then it goes down and it adds those words to my list pay item list. And then I say, okay, now go do calculate pay and send it integer hours and send it decimal pay per hour. And both of these are now being received by reference. If you're looking at the by reference 1-1, they're both being received by reference. Okay? So, now I'm going to run this one. Okay, so I'm going to put in 50 and 40. Okay, so I've now said, okay, I want to click on the button, and the first thing it puts up there is it did direction, and that gets me the code multiplies hours by pay per hour. So it is sending down by reference. So it is sending down the 100, okay, and the, what did I put in? 50 and 40, right? So it's sending down the 50 and the 40. And it is receiving the 50 and the 40. Then I set up a pay, a place to put an answer, because I'm going to do a calculation down here. So I defined a local place to do the calculation on. And then I said, okay, now I want to do the calculation. But before I do that, I'm going to take decimal pay per hour and multiply it by 2. Okay, so decimal pay per hour started out at 50. I'm multiplying it by 2, so it's now 100. And then I said, okay, now add the line that says pay per hour from sub up here and put decimal pay per hour, so it's now 100, right? Because I doubled your pay. And then I said, okay, now decimal pay is the hours worked, which is 40. Times 100, so it's 4,000. So I write out the pay from the subroutine is 4,000. Then I go back because the procedure is done. I come back here and I am going to do those two adds. And because I did it by reference, that means that the change was made to the field. Okay, the change was made to the field. And so I now have pay per hour from the click event is 100. So it is remembering that I multiplied it by 2, and it is 100. And then I said the pay from the click event is 4,000, because 100 times 4 is 4,000, times 40 is 4,000. Okay, and I'm adding decimal pay per hour times that. So I'm just doing the calculation right there and multiplying them together. And it's 100 times 40, so I'm getting 4,000. Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to close the ink layer. And I'm going to move that over to there. And I'm going to bring up the other Visual Basic that I have open. And on the other Visual Basic, I'm going to put in exactly the same things. Okay, so I'm going to put in the 50, and I'm going to put in the 40, and I'm saying calculate pay, and this is what's happening. And you're getting very different results. Okay, so notice the difference in the results. And the only difference here is bival versus by reference. Bival essentially sends down a copy. It doesn't let you reference the original. It sends down a copy. And your book does a fairly good job of explaining this, so I would take a look at it. But it sends down a copy. So I'm still sending down the 50 and the 40, because I'm saying go do, and I'm sending down the 50 and the 40, but what I'm sending down is a copy. So when I get to the subroutine, it says, okay, multiply it by 2, and then put out what it is now that it's been multiplied by 2, do the calculation, and write out the answer, and so I get the 4,000. Then it goes back to the original, and when it goes back to the original, the pay is still the way I entered it, which means it's still 50. And so the calculation is 50 times 40, and I'm getting 2,000. So essentially, it's sent down a copy for the subroutine to use, but it didn't change the original values. When I do by value, when I do by reference, it references where the data is stored, and so the data gets changed. Does that make any sense whatsoever? Would somebody look like it either does or doesn't?
I guess you're right. This one's kind of different. The pay per hour from click event.
That's right. And it's the differences because of by value versus by reference. So by reference means I've got it stored. When I said multiply it by 2, it changes it. By val, just a minute. By val means I'm sending down a copy for the subroutine to work with, but it's not affecting the original.
Well, it's basically ignoring it. Yeah. So doing the calculation.
Okay, so I'm sending down a copy. It can fuss around with the copy as much as it wants, but when it gets back up here, it's back to using the original. Okay.
Both of them look the same.
Pardon me?
Go for it.
The difference is the by rep versus by val. Yeah. This has by val, the other one had by reference.
Okay.
And so that's the difference between them. By val is the default. If you don't put in either one, you get by val. That's the default that it's going to give you. Okay? But if you want, I mean, you can make a decision about how you want things handled. Do you want the things you're doing in the subroutine to impact the original? Or do you want it not to impact the original?
Okay.
And that makes the decision of whether I go by reference or by value. Okay.
So it's like sort of holding all the information, you can, like the calculation. Like if you made a calculation, it would just hold the whatever you put into the value
right,
and hold that.
Yeah, now by reference means I'm referencing the data.
Yeah.
By value means I'm giving you a copy to play with.
Yeah.
But I'm not messing up the data.
Okay.
The data that you send in. And there's times when you want to keep the original data for some reason. Then you want to use that, you know, so that it doesn't change it. So you're going to send down a copy and you're not going to change the original data that was sent in. You know, other times you want to impact the original. Okay? Giving you a double raise is probably not realistic, but if I had given you a smaller raise, you might indeed want it to impact. Okay? So questions on this? Yeah?
If you were to throw that line, decimal pay per hour equals the old times 2, into the by value portion, would it change anything or no? If you just throw that line in there, just the hell of it.
Throw which line where? You're confusing me.
In the procedure by reference, you have the basically doubling the pay with a line.
I think it's doing it both. They're both doing the same thing.
Okay.
It's exactly, I believe, it's exactly the same code. I believe I copied and pasted. The difference, the only difference is by reference versus by value. And I believe that's the only difference in these two programs.
Why would I use one over the other?
Well, if you want to keep the original for some reason, and you want to not impact the original, then you would keep it so that you give the subroutine a copy.
So we'll say I want to export the data to a text file, and I didn't want to change it, I'll use...
No, I think exporting is probably not a great example. It's more that you may want to keep the information, and you might want to play a what-if game. In the module is, what if I give the, if I change how many I order, or what if I change the, what's the impact going to be? And so I can play around in the module and see the impact and put that out, but I haven't messed up the original. And then there are other times when you want to subtract things from something and keep going down and everything, but you still want to keep what the original was. So you can do all of this manipulation with a copy, but you've still got the original, so at the end you can compare the original to what you did to the copy. So that's the main reason why you want to do that, is when you want the original to maintain the original. And the by value maintain the original. And the by reference change the original. I mean, I've actually written programs like that where I went and did some work and then I said, but wait a minute, I really wanted to see the original. And I've gone and messed it up so now I can't see it. Well, there's a whole load of ways you can do that, like put it in a hold area. But this is another one of the ways you can do that. Okay, does that make sense? So the one we were looking at last time, I think, was basically the same thing, but then I thought this one had it in two programs, and it was easier to bring it up and show it side by side when it was in two programs than as if I had the original one that we looked at last time, which was file, close solution, file, open project, and I think this is it, but I'm not altogether sure. Yeah, it is. Okay, and it was just easier to look at when it was two programs that you could look at side by side. I decided up here. This is the same thing. If I click on this button, it does a pass by reference, so it uses these two, which have by reference in them. If I click on this button, it uses pass by value, and it uses these routines down below that have by value in them. And so it really is the same thing. In this one, I said enter the amount of the transaction, enter the percent you're using, and I went back and forth, and I got, again, different results if it was working using the original or working using the copy that I passed. Okay, so by Val is doing the copy. And if I run this, I don't actually need those. Enter the amount of the transaction, and I think I ended 100 and 0.25 as my percent. And then I did by value, and I ended 100 and 0.25 as my percent. Okay. And by reference, the amount went down because I was changing it. So the impact happened. By value, I sent it a copy and played around with the copy. When I came back, it still had the original numbers.
Okay. I think I ran into the wrong thing here, didn't I? What is the amount of the transaction? Shouldn't that be saying 100? Or don't I remember what it said? No, apparently I just don't remember what it said. But anyway, the impact is that it's making a difference. When it's by reference, it's changing by value. It keeps the originals so that when I come back here after I've gone and done the subroutine, back here, I have the original numbers. Yeah, in the subroutine, I had already done it. I thought I printed out the original, but in the subroutine, I'd already done the stuff. So the first thing I do in the subroutine on both of them is I take cent amount and multiply it by cent percentage. So I take the 100 and multiply it by 0.25 and I write out the 25. The result from the calc by value is 25. The result of the calc by reference is 25. Okay. Then I go back and I do the other one. Okay. And so 100, 25% of 100 gave me 25. 25% of 25 gave me 625. A quarter of 25 is 625. And if I did it again, it would be a quarter of 625, which would be 1 point something or other. Whereas here, it didn't change the original, it only played with the copy. And so when I passed the information, I wasn't passing 25, I was still passing 100. Okay, so by reference means that it decreased. By val means it sent down a copy, and the copy had no impact on the original. Notice the two subroutines that I did. This time I did it in two separate subroutines. And the two subroutines are identical, except that the different names.
And in one of them, when I sent it down, I changed the names from work amount to set amount. And the other one, I didn't change the names, just to show that as well.
Okay, questions? Yeah.
I noticed that you had a function called now.
Where is it? Oh, now, that gets today's date.
Yeah, I couldn't find where you...
It's up at the top here. Yeah. Right up there. So if I say greet, it goes and does the function, doesn't send it any data, and says, hello, it is 33 at 106.32 or whatever. 106 and 32 seconds.
And if I click on that again, it's now 51 seconds. And if I click on it again, it's now 56, and I'm going to keep clicking till I get to 7. Yay, 7:02.
But did you create now in a different sub, or?
No, now is a function that Visual Basic provides you.
Oh, okay.
To get you the date.
Oh, okay. I thought now was when you create it.
No. Now is just a subroutine that provides you the date and time. And actually, there are other subroutines that will just give you the date, others that will just give you the time. I just don't remember them. But if you look them up, you can. There's a whole bunch of get me the parts of the date and get me parts of time. Yeah.
So, what is the when you make the work total static? What is that actually doing?
Okay. When I click on total the way it is now. Okay, so I'm going to click on the word total. It says enter the amount of the check, and I'm going to put in 100. Then I'm going to click on it again, and it says enter the amount of the check, and I'm going to put in 200. And then I click on it again, and I say enter the amount, and I put in 300. And it's just giving me those responses. Okay, so now, if I go out of here, and I don't quite know why it decided that I didn't really want to see that anymore, but okay, so now I'm going to go out of here because I want to change this, and I'm going to comment that one out and bring static so that it's now the one that is being used, and I run this. Come on, you can do it. And I click on total, and I put in 100, and it gives me that. And I click on total, and I put in 200, and it gives me now 300. And I click on total, and I put in 300, and it now gives me 600. So it's actually doing the add. So static is... Do we have a... I won't tell. So static allows it to do the add, whereas the other thing is when I click the button, it starts this out new for me. So if I use the dim, it doesn't hold the total so that I don't add to it. Whenever I click the button, it resets.
Right.
Where if I put static, it holds it.
Okay.
And so it will keep growing, and every time I hit that button, even if I do something in between, so I did the greet, and then I hit the total again, and I put 400 in, it's now up to 1,000. So it is going to keep growing throughout the program. So every time somebody clicks that button, it's going to add to the total, which is really kind of a nice thing to be able to do. So static as opposed to dim. Questions. Okay. The next thing I want you to download, we'll just spend the day downloading, is over, okay. I'm going in a different order than the book. The book... Whoops, wrong one. The book does basic multi-forms menu, and I may have to do some of that before we get too far in. But basically, I want to do arrays, because those are the other basic kind of structure. The basic structures, you should know if statements, you should know loops, you should know procedures and functions, and you should know arrays. Basic menu form, multi-forms, menus, yeah, we'll get to those. but I'm much more interested in arrays. And as I said, a lot of the basic stuff that I do, I did over under VB.net, and since it still worked, I didn't redo all of them. So I'd like you to download arrays zipped. So it's over under VB.net arrays zipped. And download that.
Whoa.
And we're going to go through those, and then we'll come back to the examples that are like what's in the chapter. Okay, you who have taken C are very familiar with arrays. Okay, but your C, you're in the first semester of C?
Yeah.
Has he got to arrays yet?
We got through cases, not arrays.
Okay, so you'll be getting there.
Yes and no. Yes and no.
I mean, everybody's basically going to cover arrays in a beginning language course. Arrays are really actually kind of interesting in Visual Basic. There's a lot of kind of neat features of them. So I'm going to file open project. And that's in chapter 8, I think. And the first one I want to look at is department array. And this is just your very basic array. I think I actually did this one or something similar in CIS 120. So the department array is what the one I want to open. And again, the inherits business up there is simply because I'm opening a .NET, and that's what gets put in when I open the .NET in 2012. Okay, so I want this array to be visible in all of my subroutines. And so I said department array free. And I put I defined it up in the global area so that it's available in all of my modules. Okay. The three, if you look down at form department load, you can see the biggest number there is three. And so that's where I got the three from up here. Okay. So I have department array. What this does for you is it lets you set up a bunch of things with the same name. One of the first programs I was given when I started programming was a date program, and I was supposed to convert a number to the month. And so I was supposed to write what I did, not what I was supposed to do. What I did was I had if code equals 1, month equals January. If code equals 2, else if code equals 2, etc. And my boss looked at it and said, and why didn't you use an array? And I said, because I don't know what an array is. Because remember, I had a week and a half, and then I was told to stop programming. When I got hired, they sent me to a class for a week and a half, about. And then they said, okay, now you're all set. Go back and start programming. And so, needless to say, I became very close friends with my boss. The three of us that were all in that situation all became close friends with my boss, and I don't know how he did anything, because the three of us were constantly at his desk. But anyway, He taught me the program. A week and a half didn't, he did. So, what I could have done was put month one, January, month two, February, month three, etc. And then when I read in the date, if I read in a five, I could go and get the one of those that had a five after it. Okay, so that's what I'm doing here. If I run this, and I put in a value of 0, 1, 2, or 3, so I'm gonna put in 2, and I'm clicking on get department name, and it went down and got the one that has the 2 after the name. So it got the gifts. If I put a 3, it would have gotten cookware. Okay, so what I'm doing here is I'm setting up a array, and the array is basically something where I have books, toys, gifts, cookware. And the key thing is that this is 1, this is 2, this is 3, this is 4, or this is 0, 1, 2, and 3. Depending on what language you're in or anything else, we're using the 0, 1, 2, and 3, but Visual Basic actually used to let you choose whether you wanted to start with 0 or start with 1. They actually let you choose. And now they said, nah. But you don't have to use the 0. You can just say that the 0 is equal to quote, quote. And for example, if you're doing the months of the year, or something. So you can just say the 0 equals quote, quote. So that means I can call all of these department ray, and I can use this number, and this number is either called an index, a subscript, a pointer, and there's probably a bunch of other names you can give it. But index is kind of the main name. What? Okay. So index is probably the one that is most used. So what I've got here is I can now say, if you look up here, I am asking the user to pick a number. And that number is going to be in textdepartment.text, okay, on the form. I've got a box called department, and it text department, and I put the number in there. I do a convert to an integer for, mostly for, just to be sure. So I do a convert of that to an integer. And then I say, okay, now go to department array and take the one that has the 2 after it when I typed in a 2. So I say, go to department array and get the num 1 with the 2 after it. And so it says, oh, that's gifts. I'll put that in text department name.text. So I'm going to go there and get the one with the 2. Now notice what I did. I loaded that array at the before I started the program, and it's a one-time thing. So I said, okay, department array 0 is going to be books, department array 1 is going to be toys, 2 is going to be gifts, and 3 is going to be cookware, and I will tell you about department array up at the top. It goes up to 3. Okay. Now the problem with all of this is, and some languages handle it with a crash, which Visual Basic does, and some are more gentle with you and just don't give you any output. But if I run this and I put a 7 there and I say get department name, it just crashed. Okay, because a 7 is not legitimate. So it just crashed.
Do they have a case structure in BB?
Yes.
Do they give you an alternate, but in balance?
Well, this is the way I did it. So if I do this and I put a 7 in and I click on the second one, then it just tells me invalid department number. So it worked just fine. It didn't crash. But if I don't put the if statement in and I let it try to find the 7th thing in the array, it will crash. As I said, in some languages, it will just give you nothing. But in this one, it crashes. So what I did is I said first, if is numeric. So that is checking to make sure that indeed they put in a numeric. So I said, if is numeric, and then I checked and said, if textdepartment.text is less than or equal to 3. And I want to make sure that it's an integer, so I said convert it to an integer. And in that case, then I use the array to get the right thing out. Else, if it's not less than or equal to 3, I put out invalid department number. And the other else is, if it's not numeric, I put out non-numeric department number. Okay? So if I came over here and I put in an A, it gives me non-numeric department number. Okay? So it's not crashing, it's giving me feedback. And the nice thing is that when you've got a user interactive form like this, the user can now go and say, oh yeah, and put in a 2, and they get gifts. So it, you know, it keeps it from crashing and keeps user frustration way down if you put those if statements in, so that the user can go and check. Okay, so there are two things to setting up the array. You have to dim it, and then you have to fill it. The really important part about this, as I said, is that if you're coming in with a code, you can go and you can extract from the array without having a gazillion if statements in there. So you can extract from the array and get the full name. And on the whole, that's what you want to do in most of the world, is come in with codes. And we will talk later next week about how you can handle a character, an alphabetic code or a character code with this, and you can't. But for now, we're sticking with the easy one, which is a numeric code. Questions? Yes, no, maybe? Yeah, but you've already had it before, so.
I've had it before twice.
Probably. You've had it in PHP, you've had it in the C.
C twice.
Okay.
That was my advanced language. Still suck at it.
Your recorder's on. Okay.
I got
it. So now we're going to close it, and now we're going to open another project. And this time I'm going to do department array 4, maybe. And this one, apparently, I think I opened a bunch of these before I put them up here. Okay, what's going on? Okay, why am I not upgrading?
Did you unzip it or open it?
Yeah. It's part of that whole collection.
Oh, okay.
File. All right, let me try.
That was my problem.
All right.
I didn't unzip it.
Now it's not going to even let me close. Is anybody else getting this?
I got that, but I had to unzip it. There you go.
No, I'm still getting an attach.
I'll just kill BB.
Okay, so if I go and look, I swear these are all unzipped. But nobody else is getting that when you open it?
What?
The attach business?
No.
Okay, that's not fair. Okay, there are arrays. I unzipped them. They're all sitting here. They're all unzipped. Department array for okay, so I'm going to click on it one more time. Click on the SLN. Okay, I'm saying okay. Preparing solution. Now it seems to be happy. I have no idea what I clicked on before. But anyway. Okay. Okay. This is... enter department name, CI, BU, CJ.
Mine was different from yours.
Whatever. What other department is the CU for culinary, I think. Okay, so basically what I did there was it said for I equals 0 to 3. Okay, so it started out with 0, ended up at 3. And then it said inbox, put up an inbox, and store it in department array modified by I. So the first time through, it stored it in position 0. The next time through, it stored it in position 1, position 2, position 3. And so if I now put a 2 in here and say get department number, it gives me CJ, because that was the third one that I entered in, so it gave me CJ. Okay? I think I entered CI first. So if I put a 0 here, it's going to give me CI. So basically what this is doing, and we talked about this before, you've got multiple ways of putting things in. If I want to establish the array, hard code it, we do it the way I did it the first time. If I want to have the user establish the array as they're going along, then I can do it this way. And so I fill the array, and then the if statement down below is, I think, exactly the same.
What looks so weird?
What looks so
weird?
Okay. Well, I'm sure they'll be hurt. Okay. You're allowed to not like it. Okay, so I have a for loop here that just flips through it four times and takes in a department and puts it into the array. I still set up the structure of the array up here. So here's the array set up up here. This is filling the array. Okay? Any questions? Why don't you make that your own private little trip? He's Googling for loops because he doesn't like them. Okay. So, the next one I'm going to open is, I think, I really should number things, as I have probably mentioned before. Okay, that's interesting. Open project. And this time I'm going to go for a department array implicit. Okay. All right, notice what I have here is just that button click thing. But if you look over here, I've got something that I named mod array, and it's a module. Okay? And if you look at the module says, I'm going to give you an array, and this is another way set up the array. It says, I'm going to make you have a public array called department array. It's a string. You don't need to put a number in this case, and then I list the things that are going to go into it. And it says, okay, the first one is going to be the 0, the 1, the 2, and the 3. So I can just write the array out like that. One thing you should notice is the curly braces around it. Those aren't parentheses, depending on whether you can see that or not. They're curly braces. Okay? So I'm setting it up in a module, and the module is seeable from the form, as long as I make it the public module. And it's seeable from the form, and so I can just have the array set up that way. It's called module mod array.
How did you create that?
Just a moment. There we go. Project, add module. Okay, so under project, I say add module. And I'm going to go and put that. So that, okay, so I just went into project and I click on add module and it comes in and lets me name it. So after I click on add module, I can give it a name, whatever. And then I can say add it, and it just added the module called whatever VB, and it's opened it up for me, and I can start writing in it. Okay? So that's how I can go about adding a module, and it's basically I can store that stuff separately. And then I can go through and do the work. And so from department is still doing exactly the same thing that I did before, but the definition was over in the module. Now that definition I put in the module with the curly braces and everything could be in the main program. It's just an alternate way of creating it. Thank you. Okay, now I got to try to remember which one was next. Department of Rays. I think it was airfare.
So if you do a module, it just, whatever you put in there, the form will treat it as if it's in the form?
Yes. Okay, so this one I did is airfare. And this one is a two-dimensional table. I actually have three tables set up down here. What is it, Oracle that calls them tables? So I set up three arrays, and I said Dim City is going to go from 0 to 3. Dim From City, rather, is going to go from 0 to 3. Dim To City is going to go from 0 to 2. And then Price Array is a two-dimensional array. So, if I run this, and then we'll look at what's happening down there. If I run this, and I say, I want to go from code 2 to code 0. Okay? Yeah, you do it in pretty much every language. Which, by the way, okay, so what's Baku the capital of?
Azerbaijan,
very good. My daughter was in, at the time I wrote this, apparently was in Baku. And she came over and said, I'm going to Baku. And I said, oh, wonderful, where's Baku?
Well, it's Azerbaijan Island.
Yes, small country. Okay, so look at what I did here. I entered in a 2. And so it comes down, and the 2 gets me the city from, it gets me Austin, Texas. And we'll look at how we put it out, but I right now just want to look at it. So the 2 up here gets me to Austin, Texas. Okay? Then the 0 gets me into the next table, the 2 city, 0 is Istanbul. So I was going to fly from Austin, Texas to Istanbul. Now the flight to do that is $967.87. And that's right there. So to do that is that price right there. And notice that price has the 2, 0. Which means that the 2 that I put in as the from code and the 0 that I put in as the 2 code are going to get me 967.87. Okay, so I've got three arrays going on there. Two of them are single dimension, one of them is double dimension. Okay? So what I've got is 0, 0, so that means Boston to Istanbul, is 897. 0, 1, which is from Boston to Baku, is another price. The third one down, 0, 2, is from Boston to London. Okay? So I can start out and you can draw this either way, but if I'm going to have my from cities, I guess I'm going to have the froms across the top, but you can draw it either way. But from is 0, 1, 2, and 3. So these are my froms. and my twos are 0, 1, and 2. Okay, so from 0 to 0 is 897, is that what it reads?
Yep.
And to 1 is 0 to 1 is 987.98. Okay, and you just keep going, filling these in. And 0 to 2 is 299.99. And then 1 to 1, 1 to 0 rather, is 745.75. And 1 to 1 is 923.45. And so forth, if I'm reading them right. Okay? And so you just keep putting in the numbers like that, and it makes a two-dimensional table. Okay? And back in the era before you went to your phone and looked up how many miles it was to go someplace, they actually had charts like this, where you put in where you were going from and where you were going to, and got the number of miles. Okay? So you set up these tables, and this two-dimensional table has my from code and my to code. So my from code, this is the 1. So this is the from code, and this is the to code. And it doesn't matter which is which. I could have set the table up with the to code as the first number and the from code as the second, I just would have had to have written the numbers differently. Okay? But on this one, I have the from code first and the to code second. So that gives me a two-dimensional table, and I have 1 minute to go. So if you look up at the top, I'm basically asking questions, and we'll look at this later. But I'm basically asking questions and then determining, and this line right here, the place to fly from, goes to from city and uses the from point. Concatenating with, go to city and use that. Concatenating with price, and price was gotten by going to the price array with the from and the to and storing it in the price. So I can extract those things, and we'll look at this, start out looking at this on Tuesday.
Are we going to cover read and writes on Tuesday too?
Probably not, but if you want to, I can. I've sent you, I put up the write, and I have an example of a read I've already put up there.
Because I remember in the insurance assignment, you
hinted. I said to write a file, but I thought I put it up there. Didn't I put it up there, Eric?
Send me an email.
Okay.
I did the insurance, but I didn't do the read or write yet.
All right.
I sent it to you expecting to get it sent back.
Oh, so I just haven't got to it yet, probably. Okay, here it is. Information on writing a file. If examples with file. I think that's it.
Okay.
Now we'll find out if I put up what I thought I put up. Yeah, this is a sample code of it. Okay, so if you want to write a file, you do it with write line, file close. At some point there's going to be a file open down here, file open, open mode is output.
Now in the file for the insurance, did you just want what was in the text boxes?
Yes, I just want, yeah.
So you just want the premiums and stuff to be written in there?
No, just how much they owe or something, I think was all I asked for.
Okay.
The ID and how much. I mainly wanted you to just write a file. And so this is both a copy of how to read one and how to write one.
I think you went over that in 120, really.
I did, very briefly. Completely, very briefly.
And your C++ class, you're going to do the same thing, but you're going to export it to an HTML file. So you're going to be programming HTML and C++.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat.
It's a lot of extra work, but it does the same. Pretty much every time you want to do a, like a...
Not to a text file, to an HTML file.
It's the same thing. But yeah, so if you want to do like a header tag, you have to do a C out.